This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico. More than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How did that meeting between Presidents Biden and Xi Jinping go, according to China? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The APEC summit has wrapped up near San Francisco. The meeting there between President Joe Biden and China's President Xi Jinping got a lot of attention both here and in China. For more, here's our China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai.
China's government media has always been tasked with guiding public opinion. Ahead of Xi's meeting with President Biden, news outlets emphasized the importance of the U.S.-China relationship. One article even delved into Xi's long diplomatic relationship with Biden when they were both vice presidents. Social media has highlighted lighter exchanges, like when Xi shows Biden his presidential car from the Chinese brand Hongqi, and when Biden shows Xi a photo of Xi in front of the Golden Gate Bridge 38 years ago. The official news agency Xinhua was so happy with that last story, it was posted twice on Xinhua's social media feed on WeChat. This is a huge shift from the usual anti-American rhetoric coming from the same outlets. In 2019, the People's Daily, the official Communist Party newspaper, published no less than 9 editorials about the inevitable failure of the U.S. The overriding feeling in China, from the top all the way to the street level, is that the U.S. is trying to contain China's rise. It's unclear whether this perception has been changed by this latest meeting. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
The U.S. was not the only country trying to manage a fraught relationship with China at this week's APEC summit. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida also met with President Xi. They shook hands, talked about the need for good relations, peaceful coexistence, but there were some simmering economic tensions still just below the surface. The BBC's Shaima Khalil reports.
Fumio Kishida has called on China to immediately lift the import ban it imposed on Japanese seafood following the release of treated radioactive water from the crippled Fukushima nuclear power plant. In the first face-to-face meeting both leaders have had in a year, Mr. Kishida also expressed concern over China's maritime activities in the East China Sea, including areas near the group of islands known as the Senkaku Islands in Japan and the Diaoyu Islands in China. Ties between the two neighbors have been strained for years in a territorial row over the islands which lie northeast of Taiwan and are controlled by Japan.
That was the BBC's Shaima Khalil. Usually, an economy has to pay a price for getting inflation under control, rising unemployment or recession. Ideally, though, we would get the unicorn known as a soft landing, where we don't get a recession. This week, we learned inflation did, in fact, slow way down in October, and jobs numbers seem to be doing okay. So, where are we at in landing terms? Christopher Lowe is chief economist with FHN Financial in New York and joins us. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
So, soft landing, is that where we are at right now?
It is starting to feel that way. There were quite a few Fed speakers this week, all of whom said, wait and see. But we saw CPI data that was lower than expected. Inflation is continuing to slowly fade away. We also saw economic data reported this week that was on the weak side. Industrial production falling 0.7%. Retail sales down for the first time since March. Even though there are a few voices saying this is worse than soft landing, this is perhaps a downturn, I don't think it actually adds up to that.
When that positive inflation data came out, the bond yields immediately sank, meaning projected future interest rates are lower than what people thought they might be. What does that tell us about how the bond market thinks the economy is going?
The bond market is clearly convinced the economy is slowing down, but not precipitously. They think it's slow enough that probably the Fed will not have to raise rates again. And well, the market's actually beginning to look ahead to when interest rates might come down. But it's important to note the economy is still strong enough that we probably won't see any relief from the Fed for a long time.
Christopher Lowe, Chief Economist at FHN Financial in New York, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sabri.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now, a shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Holiday shopping season is upon us. It has actually been upon us for a while, since October. Retailers are tamping down expectations. Company after company has now come out with forecasts that the final months of the year will probably be underwhelming. They're already seeing consumers pulling back. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
We've gotten a parade of quarterly results now from major retailers. And what have we heard?
That the consumer is still spending, but they're spending judiciously and selectively.
That's Joe Feldman of the Telsey Advisory Group. Bath & Body Works and Gap this week said customers are getting pickier. Target predicted a holiday sales decline.
The consumer is definitely looking for deals. We've seen that the retail community has started the holiday season in October at this point.
Consumers are retrenching because they had been spending robustly. Retail sales fell in October for the first time in 6 months. Even at Walmart, where a deal-seeking shopper might go, there were signs of customer caution in October. Here's Chief Financial Officer John David Rainey in an earnings call with analysts.
We're seeing credit tightening. We've seen consumer balance sheets that are getting back close to pre-pandemic levels. You've got repayment of student loans, which affects about 27 million Americans. So all of these things could be contributing.
Still, Rainey said Walmart will likely benefit from bargain hunting shoppers. Same at the parent company of discount chains TJ Maxx and Marshalls, which reported a strong start to its holiday sales period. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
The National Congress of American Indians, NCAI, convened in New Orleans this week, with tribal leaders from all over the country gathering to share updates and discuss policy priorities, many of those related to tribal economies. Everything from credit access to land and energy development was on the agenda. Marketplace's Savannah Marr has more on that.
One barrier to growing tribal economies is a lack of capital, says Chris James with the National Center for American Indian Enterprise Development.
Historically, a lot of times we have not had access to credit.
At NCAI this week, James's organization pushed for changes to make federal farm, business, and home loans more attainable in Indian country. James also wants to see tribally run enterprises thinking globally.
Our Native American businesses are often thinking export is just getting a good outside of our community.
But with some federal support, he says they could be trading internationally. Delegates also talked about shoring up tribal food supply chains, says Carly Griffith Hotvet with the Indigenous Food and Agriculture Initiative.
If we want to be sovereign and feed our own people, we need to have those means of getting food on the table from a processing perspective.
Next month, tribal leaders will bring these priorities to the annual White House Tribal Nations Summit. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.